Well, good morning, everyone. Here we are, holy fika, holy fika. But we've got a change of plans this morning. Some of you are really surprised to see me on holy fika. We had planned on being in St. Cloud, Minnesota today, and we were thinking that being in St. Cloud, well, it'd be fun to maybe go to the Mississippi River and sit on the banks and talk a little bit about Running River. I thought about going to a quarry and thinking about, you know, what God is quarrying in our lives. I had all kinds of thoughts for Holy Fika and what I was going to do in St. Cloud and how excited I was about it. But little did I know that last week this boy was no longer going to avoid the COVID little guy. And I had a meeting with Mr. COVID last week, and so tested positive, and I've been down with COVID since last Thursday, actually. And I can only tell you it's not a lot of fun, that's for sure, but I'm grateful to not be in the percentage of people that end up hospitalized and worse. And so I'm grateful today that the last week I've been sitting basically in this chair and laying in my bed and recuperating. But really thought that it would be okay for us to meet. So put your masks on, and get 6 feet away from what you're watching me on, okay? Now, I've done my duty, I've told you, and stay away from me. But isn't that the nice part that we can actually, because of social media, which we've learned in the last 3 years, that actually opened the door for Holy Fika to even begin. We would have never been doing this had it not been for the pandemic. We would never been on WMOZ. Never, those of you that are watching on Moose Lake Public Access TV, we would have never met. And so, Fika friends, we've come together because of not a good situation. And that's all good. And I'm grateful that the body aches and the coughing, which was miserable, I'll tell you, I felt like a truck ran over me every time I coughed, and still a little bit of coughing, and hope to be back in circulation by the end of this week. So anyway, thanks for joining me in my lazy boy chair in my living room where I recuperate. And for those of you that are also recuperating, Lord's best to you as well, and I certainly know what you're going through. Well, this morning, as we think about what it is that God might be saying to us, there's certainly a word I want to say about what the nation is focused on right now, and that is the massacre in Texas. And we all grieve as we hear that story. And of course, whenever we grieve, part of grief is anger, and part of grief is blaming, and part of grief is... And we experience that because we've seen a horrible loss. Cheryl and I, my wife, who is a substitute teacher both at Moose Lake and at Barnum, and so she's acquainted with the schools of most of the people that are listening right now and joining me, and also in Cloquet. We were talking just about the size of our schools, and when you think of second, third, and fourth grade, and you think of 7, 8, 9, and 10-year-olds, and how horrific this is. It's just so evil and so fallen. And I would want to say something to you today, though, that's really important. I know that there's a minimizing as people seek to make political hay of this. There's a minimizing of the place of prayer. And I've heard over and over, you know, that almost the anger at people who say, we'll pray. Anger that's exhibited toward those of us that say that. I want to tell you, prayer and the understanding of that statement is only as real and as large as your God is today. Frankly, prayer is nothing more than an exercise of the emptying of conscience if you don't have a big God. If your God is not alive and not large, if your God is not the creator God and the redeemer God of your life, prayer becomes sometimes an excuse for things. But for those of us But for those of us who are Christ followers, friends, those of us that understand that we are formed and framed by a loving Creator God, and that we find life in the Redeemer God, who by His Son has redeemed us and brought new life to us, new life in Christ, abundant and free. Prayer means everything. Prayer means everything. And the words that God says to us means everything. And so when I read the words that He is acquainted with our grief, He understands that He knows our frame, that He hates our sin. Not us, but He hates our sin. We can pray. We can pray. We can pray for the parents and the grandparents and the friends and those who have lost children. We can think of a community that's devastated. I just can't imagine. As I was beginning to say, Cheryl and I were talking last night, and she's a substitute in the lower grades, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. I said, can you imagine being a teacher and coming back to school and knowing the parents and knowing your kids after a whole year of school? And if something like this happened, it's beyond imagination. I mean, it's. So I would just say to you, it makes a difference to pray. Pray for those families. Pray for that community. Pray that God would be at work in a horrible, horrible situation. This is the fruit of fallen mankind. And I want to tell you, no amount of education, no amount of finances, nothing can fix this in our country but changed hearts and changed lives. And I don't know when we'll start understanding that. This is the gospel. And so, friends, pray today as you watch the news. Don't be sucked into the issues that will be made the center issues, when in fact the center issue is the need for the redemption of Christ in people's lives. So He comforts us with a comfort that is deeper than any comfort that you and I could ever say. So pray for in those situations. Another thing that I just want to bring up now is that today is the last Wednesday night family night at Barnum Community Church, which means this is the Last Supper, so to speak. And I feel so bad I won't be there to say hello to people and to greet people. And I would just love to be there and say goodbye to you, have a great summer, and see you in the fall. But I won't be able to. But I encourage those of you that can go, enjoy that Last Supper at the church and the events of the evening and all of that. That would be great. Okay, so what is it that I've been thinking about as I sit here in my chair? I've been sitting here for 7 days. 7 days coughing, aching, 7 days. Boy, I don't know when I've sat that long. 7 days. Sneezing. Oh, unbelievable. But what is it that God is at work doing in all of this? This is a question that I think Jesus followers need to make part of our constant conversation with God. How is it that God is using this? How is it that God is going to use this in my life? How is that going to happen? Well, I'm sitting here and... oh my goodness, I've got my thermometer, I'm looking at my thermometer, and I've got my aspirin, and I've got my glass of water, and I've got all kinds of fluids, so I keep drinking fluids, and I've got my favorite coffee cup and a cup of coffee, and I've got my heart open to what God would want to say to me. And of course, the thing that is interesting as I come to you this morning is that I really haven't talked to anybody for the last week. Even my dog died, last fall, and I talked to her all the time, and so I couldn't even talk to my dog. So now I get to talk to you. And I'm anxious to do that because God has really been stirring something in my heart regarding my life. And maybe it affects your life. And maybe you're sitting someplace right now listening, and maybe late at night. I'm well aware that since Holy Fika, our Fika friend circle expanded from Facebook to Moose Lake Public Access Television. And so we have more people now that are Fika friends of ours. Fika, remember, coffee break friends. And maybe that's you. And maybe you're having coffee at 1 in the morning because you can't sleep. Or maybe you're having coffee because you're sick and you're by yourself. So what is it that God does in those times in our lives? Well, here's what God has been speaking to me about. I'm in quarantine, of course. I'm in quarantine because I have COVID right now. And here I sit, isolated. Why am I isolated? Because I'm contagious. I'm infectious. I could give this to somebody else, which would not be a loving thing to do. It's not a loving thing to give something to someone you love or anyone. That's bad. We don't do that. That's not where the way we're wired. So because I have COVID and because I'm contagious, I'm out of the loop. I'm in isolation. Contagious and infectious. Okay. The idea is I don't spread this. But I had a funny thought the other day. Some of the last words of Jesus were this: go into all the world and be infectious. Go into all the world and be contagious. You say, I didn't read that in my Bible. Yeah, well, it's there. Let me tell you how it's there. Jesus said, go into all the world and speak the gospel and make disciples of all nations, not just of your culture set, but cross barriers, cross lines, cross boundaries. Go out there and be infectious. Be infectious. So that posed a question to me this last week. First of all, how infectious am I? And do I want to be infectious? Because I think a lot of believers with their faith walk are not infectious or contagious and have gone into isolation in that regard in their life. I think so. But for some reason, Jesus says, be infectious about me. Be infectious about me. Be contagious in your walk with me. People will say to me sometimes, well, why is it that Christians always have to share their faith? Why do they always have to talk about it? Well, one of the reasons we talk about it is because we were designed to do that. We were designed to talk about our relationship with God and the impact of his relationship with us. Remember, in creation, Adam and Eve, who did they walk with in the garden? We've talked about this. They walked with God. They interacted with God. They had fellowship with him. They talked about him, with him. We were designed to talk about our interaction with God, our experience with God, our relationship with God. We were designed to do that. We were created to do that, friends. So it's not surprising that when you have an encounter with God, you're going to want to talk about it. It's not, it shouldn't be shocking to anyone that when you've encountered the God of the universe, that you, in fact, would talk about that to people and interact about it and explain it, how it happened in your life. It's not surprising that you would want that for other people. It's not really a surprising thing. This is a very logical step if you really think about it. Our encounter with God always stirs an infectious, contagious response. And there is something about when we share about God in our lives, when we share about the power of God in our lives, that people want to listen to. They want to hear about that. And they spread that word. They spread that word. Oh my goodness, how the word spreads when you hear someone has COVID. Oh, did you hear so-and-so tested positive? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. How are they doing? Da-da-da-da. Or if you won the lottery, you would tell people about it. And people would talk about it. Because of the nature of what has happened in your life, we share those good things. Well, we share bad things that happen to us too. We give bad reviews about restaurants, don't we? And about places. So the idea of being contagious with the gospel should not be something that we find awkward or that we find wrong. In fact, there's something wrong if we're not contagious, if we're not infectious with our faith. I'm not talking about ramming it. I'm not talking about forcing our faith. I'm talking simply about or talking about it. And maybe the reason people don't understand what the Christian walk is, and the walk is with Jesus, is because we don't talk about it. We don't talk about what's happening in that walk. And sometimes we don't talk about it because we don't have a walk with Jesus yet. Or because it's a broken walk. There's something in the way of it. So, for our Holy Fika, I'd like for us to think about some thoughts that have been percolating in this coffee maker up here, this head, as God has been speaking to me, sitting in the chair, my COVID chair here. The first thing is this, that the scriptures seem to call us to be infectious in our speech, to be infectious in our speech by storytelling. In other words, in speech, be infectious storytellers. It will result in joy. It will result in joy. There's something about storytelling that has a contagious and infectious nature. How many times have you just waited to tell someone a story that you've just heard? You're going to tell them a story. Let me tell you the story about the fish I caught last weekend. Let me tell you the story about the deer that walked out in front of my stand when I was crawling out of it. Let me tell you about my grandson and his baseball game. Let me tell you about we love to tell stories. And people will listen to a story. I'll tell you this. After many, many years of preaching, I can tell you that in a sermon, when I'm preaching and I shift to a story, the attention becomes greater to what I'm saying. It does. When I tell a story about something in my life or a story that someone has told me, I find people leaning forward because they want to hear the story. I can preach great doctrine. I mean, I can teach an outline of doctrine and theology, and I can teach you about biblical geography, the life of Jesus, all of that stuff. And you go back, oh. And then the minute I say, let me tell you a story. And you go, I want to hear that. And you lean forward because stories are infectious. And that is why Jesus instructs us to tell our story of him in our lives. But it didn't begin with Jesus. Do you remember in the Old Testament, they would put rocks along the road? And why were those rocks there? They were memorial rocks. They were called story rocks. And when you would walk along the way, and especially when you were with your children, when you saw those rocks, those were to initiate a conversation, a story, why those rocks were there. And in that story, there would be a lesson. In that story, there would be something of truth and value to be gained and to be learned. They were story rocks. It's funny, even on the North Shore, when you go up there now, you'll see rocks stacked up. Other cultures have done that. Story rocks. In our speech, we need to be infectious storytellers, because there is a contagious nature to storytelling. And when we tell our story of Jesus, you know how we tell it? We tell it with joy, because where that story begins is life without Jesus. And maybe wherever we were at, it can be a bad place. It can be a boring place. It can be a no direction place. Wherever your story begins without Jesus, it ends in joy because of Jesus. Did you hear that? Your life story, wherever your Jesus story begins, it begins without him, which is bland and blah and blasé. And then Jesus enters the picture of the story. You tell the story, and it ends in joy. The story of Jesus in our lives, hear me, is a rescue story. And you know what some of the most contagious stories that we gravitate to are? Rescue stories. Rescue stories. You know it and I know it. Think of the movies that have been great movies. They are rescue stories. Oh, we're coming into Memorial Day weekend. Oh, I forgot to make that announcement. I was going to encourage you. Parenthesis. Please remember it's Memorial Day weekend coming up. Don't let it skip by you. If you can, go to the service at Moose Lake or Barnum or wherever you go. Tell the story. Hear the story again. And honor those who laid the foundation that set the table that we enjoy today. Don't let the weekend get by. Okay, now let me get back on track here a minute. So the story of the stories that grip us are rescue stories. Saving Private Ryan will be played this weekend over and over, probably in theaters. And it's the story of the rescue of Private Ryan. And it's an incredible story. There are stories of animals that are rescue stories. Rescue stories are stories that captivate us, that stories that stir the spirit, excite the soul, stimulate the thinking. We love rescue stories. Brother, sister, friend, the story of Jesus is a rescue story. The gospel is a rescue story. Go into all the world and preach, teach, speak the gospel. I want to say something to you about the gospel, because it's a kind of a touchy point with me, and I want to make a clarifying statement that maybe you've not thought about. The gospel is not simply God loves you. There are people that say, oh, we got to keep telling people God loves them. This is the God. No, the gospel is more than just the fact of the love of God. It is the act of God. The gospel is the good news, not only that God loved you, but that he acted on his love and he sent his only son to die for you. He went to the grave. He rose from the dead and he ascended to the Father. Friends, this is the gospel. This is the good news. He was victorious over death. and he can rescue you. Our stories about Jesus are rescue stories. They're rescue stories. They're rescue stories, and they are contagious. As a Christ follower, you are called to be infectious, contagious in your speech through storytelling. Secondly, see, I'm just sitting here. I'm killer. I can sit here all morning, so I got to watch time, don't I? you'll be saying it's lunchtime. That's what they call lunch in Sweden. It's not fika anymore. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so the second thing that we see that God desires that we would be infectious in is in our lifestyle. In lifestyle, we are infectious in loving. We are infectious in loving. And how does that manifest itself? In comfort. In comfort. God says that as we live, our lifestyle should have a certain mark on it. And the mark of the lifestyle of the follower of Christ is that of loving. Mm-hmm. Because loving brings comfort. It brings comfort. It means that in my lifestyle, my response, my behaviors, all of what I do should reflect that. And what would be some of the marks then of a lifestyle that is infectious in loving? One thing would be generosity. Generosity. Generosity of our time, generosity of our resources, generosity of our talent, our skills, our gifts, our giving. Generosity. It's one of the best ways that we show love. There is a great series of books out on love languages. I'd recommend them to you. That they're very, very fine. They speak about different ways in which we love, and certain the way we're wired dictates often the way in which we express that love, the way that we our lifestyle of love demonstrates itself to our families and to our neighbors and to our coworkers, and to the people that we hang out with. And so the Bible says that our lifestyles should be infectious in loving, because that will bring comfort to people. You see, people that are hungry, people that have nothing, people that are hurting, people that are broken, when loved, find comfort. You know what I'm talking about. It's not simply just throwing something at them. The act of giving something is more encouraging than sometimes the item that you've given. Your presence is often the loving gift, the fact you're there. And so when Jesus says, go into all the world and spread the gospel is again the demonstration of God loving us through giving his son. Because we read also in the Bible that it says, greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus says, I have called you friends. And so this idea that God loves us is not a shallow platitude. It is a demonstrable action. God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were still way off, while we were still missing the mark, while we were still ignoring him, while we were still doing our own thing, he loved us. He sent his son. And so we have this infectious love of God because of what he's done. because of, in a sense, God's lifestyle, the way he demonstrates what life is to us. He loved us and showed it. Now we're called to be the same kind of people. We're called to be people that demonstrate that love of the Father. It's not enough, friends, to simply say the gospel is to say God loves you. The gospel is that God loves you and he did something with that love for you. That love caused him to take an action that would rescue you. This is incredible. This is life transforming. This is a change maker. If you can get your life wrapped around that, it will remold and reshape and reframe you. And then lastly today, COVID cough, but I'm not next to you, so don't worry. The third thing is this, that in our spiritual lives, we need to be infectious in our faith walking because that brings hope. We need to be infectious in our faith walking because that brings hope. So may I quickly review? In speech, we are infectious in our storytelling because it brings joy. Right? In lifestyle, we are infectious in loving because it brings comfort. And in our spiritual life, we bring faith walking because it brings hope to people. It brings hope. Faith walking. Infectious faith walking is simply believing God for what he says. Believing God for what he says he will do and trusting him with that. Trusting him even when it doesn't look like it. You know, I cannot begin to tell you that in the last 2, 3 years, the number of disappointments that I've experienced in life have been far greater than the sum total of the previous 15, 20 years. I mean, we've all had that, haven't we? Some of you right now are living with huge disappointments in your life. And many of you that are listening, because you're Christ followers, are saying, you know, I'm trusting Christ, and I don't get it. Why am I where I'm at when I'm trusting Christ? And I want to say to you, believe, keep believing and trusting him because God is in control. He really is. He's working out something that is far greater than you could even imagine, that you could even picture, that you could even fathom. And when it's all said and done, we go, I see the hand of God in that now. You don't know the number of times I've said that, and I've heard that from people. I see the hand of God now. What does that tell you? It means at one point you didn't. You wouldn't say now if you did before, because that means you didn't see it before. But now you do. Now you see the hand of God. And so, Jesus, when he says, go into all the world and be infectious. Be infectious in your faith walking. Trust me. Believe me. And that will bring hope. That will bring hope to the hopeless. There are people today that are extremely, maybe you. You find yourself feeling really hopeless about the world situation. I mean, you look at what's going on, you look at Ukraine, you look at Texas now, you look at all these things. And you say, I'm just feeling really hopeless. Is there a good sign anywhere?
I mean, really, it's like walls are crumbling all over. What's going on? Where is the hope? The hope is in God. The hope is in the transformed life that you enjoy in Christ. And I want to say to those of you that are maybe you're curious and you're listening and you're going, who is that guy anyway? What's he talking about? I'm no different than you. In fact, I'm much more like you than you realize. I'm from here. I'm like you. I graduated from Barnum High School. I work in this community, but I also grew up in this community. I'm a lot like you. And I'm here to tell you something today. For those of you that are not Christ followers yet, the best hope that you have is in Christ. And standing on the solid rock of Christ. You may say, I'm not excited about church. Well, you know what? I'm not sometimes either. I'm not sometimes either. And you know what? I have the right to say that because I've hung out in the church longer than most of you that are listening right now. Years wise and time wise, I've hung out. I've hung out there. And I've hung out with people that hang out in churches. And I want to tell you, sometimes that doesn't give a lot of hope. Sometimes I just go, oh. And then I remember, oh, my hope is in Christ. And then I realize there are people doing that about me. They're going, oh, Kendall, oh, our pastor, oh. And you're doing the same thing. You're going, I don't have much hope in him. Well, I don't either some days. I look in the mirror too. Just I look in the mirror at what you're looking at right now, and sometimes I go, oh my goodness. But my hope is in Christ. It's in Christ. What is infectious today and contagious, and what needs to spread? It needs to become a pandemic. It needs to become a pandemic in our world. And that's changed life in Christ because he can change you, friend. He can change what's going on in your life right now. He can. He'll hold you in the palm of his hand rather. He'll hold you in the palm of his hand. And in the palm of his hand is protection and provision. Now, when you're in the palm of his hand, remember that the lightning is still flashing. The thunder is still going, the rain is still coming, but you're in the palm of his hand. You're in the palm of his hand. While I'm sitting here, hopefully in the last stages of my COVID, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for 7 days of sitting. I'm grateful that while I haven't seen you face to face, I've had a visitor every day. Jesus. Some of you going, oh, you're a fruitcake, aren't you? No, I'm not a fruitcake, friends. I'm just telling you, this has not been a bad time. Uncomfortable physically? Absolutely. But has it been a bad time? No. Because God has reminded me of the importance of being infectious and contagious in my speech, in my lifestyle, and in my spiritual life, in my storytelling, in my loving, and in my faith walking. Be contagious. But you cannot be contagious until you've caught it. Someone who doesn't have COVID is not contagious with COVID. Duh. Someone without Christ cannot be contagious with him. You must have him in your heart. You must have him in your life. then he becomes contagious. There's something funny about being contagious. And then I'm done. And this is it. One of the things about vaccination is that vaccination gives you just enough of what you don't want to build a resistance so that you don't get the real thing. Isn't that what vaccination is? Vaccination is giving you just enough of what you don't want to keep you from getting a full-blown case of it. Sometimes I'm afraid that in our religious lives, we've gotten just enough of Jesus, just been vaccinated with just enough of Jesus that keeps us from getting the full-blown Jesus. We have just enough of the story, but we don't have enough of the story. We have just enough to keep us from getting it all. Well, this morning, or this afternoon, or this evening, whenever you're having coffee with me, I'd like for you to think about being contagious with something good. Being contagious with the good news that God loves you and he did something about it. He acted. He sent Jesus to rescue you. You no longer need to be lost. You need no longer to be without compass, without direction. And that's good news today. So, contagious. I'm hoping I'll be taking a little test here pretty soon to see if I'm done with all this, and you'll be seeing my bright shining face out and about again. But until then, thanks for joining me on Holy Fika. From my living room, sitting in the chair that is my home when I'm home, with a cup of coffee. Stay safe, but be contagious with Jesus. Blessings on you, friend.